The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
Over the weekend, a crisis pregnancy center in Oregon was firebombed. That's the fourth one so far. And then last weekend, of course, a would-be assassin was arrested outside the home of Justice Kavanaugh. I know that the administration condemns violence, and you've said as much several times previously, but I'm wondering, is there anything that the president is doing to cool passions before the Dobbs decision drops?
Well, that's something clearly the DOJ is looking into, they've taken that very seriously. We have seen an uptick of that type of arson and bombing or attempt to bomb, as we saw just recently over the weekend. And so, again, that's for the DOJ is taking that very seriously, and they're going to continue to do so.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
And that was the White House press secretary. She, of course, replaced Jen Psaki. She's new to the game and might be a new voice to you if you're not familiar with hearing those responses. She was pressed about the violence at pro-life centers in what was a recent, press briefing, and I'm glad that we're hearing some of that dialogue. Just a little audio from the exchange. Maybe we'll play more, but let me fill you in on what's happening there. Before I do, let me welcome you. It's good to be back here with you today. Always, always so much fun to just take a look at life with you. We've got a lot coming up today, and we'll talk about everything from gun laws to electric vehicles. So we'll pray the chaplet and ultimately in the end help you to overcome fear during what can be really trying times. So it's going to be a mixed bag. Stay with me. It's just some of what we have coming up here. The campaign of destruction. Let's talk about that, right? You see how Satan operates. You see how evil operates, right? Especially against these pro-life movements. Against any work of God, you can see the violence, the evil, the destructive nature that is evil. We just recently learned about a pro-life pregnancy center in Philadelphia that was vandalized over the weekend. I don't know why I missed that. But it's the Hope Pregnancy Center on Broad Street. They had four windows smashed in. And they have these in front of the building, they have these three glass doors. And there was some, I guess it's illegible graffiti painted on it. It was trying hard to make out what it was saying. But I'm sure if you were up closer, I had to view it from a picture that I saw. But the site's director told the Catholic News Agency, look, this isn't going to stop us. No way. Our work's going to continue, right? There was a blog posting with the name Anti-Hope Brigade, and this is what these people said. I hope they're arrested. I hope they're held accountable, right? They said, quote, "We smashed out all the windows of the Hope Pregnancy Center on Broad Street. We're tired of your family values and you forcing families and your values onto our bodies. This fake clinic spreads lies. It's part of a broader attempt to strip away bodily autonomy from hundreds of women and people." You can hear the anger in the words, right? You can hear the anger in the words. You can almost hear the demonic undertone to that, right? We're tired of your family values. You're fake. You want to strip bodily autonomy away. There's so much confusion, disorientation. There's so much wrong, really, with that statement, if you think about it. And I was even thinking about what was happening with the Supreme Court justices. Here Brett Kavanaugh's, I think, two daughters. I mean, Amy Coney Barrett is a huge family. Of course, they've been doxxed. And, these people even let the nation know where their kids go to school. And again, people can be, listen to this tone, listen to the voice, listen to these people who would break windows and vandalize, right? Who would throw Molotov cocktails into places that are only there to help, to do good, not to harm, right? And I think, what's at the very heart of this? And I think my producer, Maggie, said this the other day, and so did Tom, my other producer. They said they hate children. That's what this is all about. There's a hatred for children. That's why they follow these Supreme Court justice kids. That's why they put their names out there. These innocent kids being harassed by a bunch of radicals, right? These pro-life workers, the Hope Pregnancy Center, right, being vandalized. Why? Because they hate the thought that someone is there that's going to help a woman who has a choice, right? She has the freedom to choose whether she's going to abort that child or not. And it seems that when she goes to the Hope Pregnancy Center, she's choosing life. She's choosing more information. Perhaps she's choosing help. She's choosing family values. They don't want that. They're against that choice. Only one choice in their book. So I just found that striking, was I looked at that Monday morning, 4 a.m., right? At 4 Monday morning, two masked people broke a window and they threw a flare into the office of the Republican Washington State Representative Andrew Barkas. Fortunately, the flare fell on a tiled part of the floor, thank God. No further damage. Why am I telling you this? Well, because this representative had previously sponsored a bill prohibiting abortions committed on children with Down syndrome. Again, let me go back to the first point. Can you see the hallmarks of the evil one? Satan becoming more aggressive? Can you see the hatred? I mean, you're going to attack this guy? He disagrees with your ideology. You disagree with his. Is he throwing flares into your building? You know, arson's a dangerous thing. It's a serious thing. You can take lives with that. That bill, by the way, was defeated. But thank you, Representative Barkas. Good for you. According to the, I think it was a Washington Stand from Family Research Council, right now, just to give you the broad picture of where we are, and I don't know whether you're hearing this anywhere else. I don't know if you're getting the broad picture. I want to thank Catholic Vote. I want to thank a lot of life groups that are out there that are trying to raise awareness to this. Family Research Council says that there have been now more than 50 incidents of some kind of violence against churches or pro-life groups since May 2nd, right? A couple weeks, right? Since that first draft of Dobbs' decision was leaked and published by Politico. And if this is what the leaker wanted to see, guess what? They got their wish. I only wish that person would be caught. Our friends at EWTN did a great job highlighting this issue recently, giving an overview of really what is, when you look at it, striking pattern of destruction.
According to continually updated numbers from the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, at least 26 incidents have occurred across 35 states in the District of Columbia since May 2020. The destruction tracked by U.S. bishops includes arson, statues beheaded, limbs cut, smashed, and painted, gravestones defaced with swastikas, and anti-Catholic language.
Is the president aware of that destruction taking place right now across the U.S.?
The president, the White House, and the United States would oppose any destruction or desecration of religious institutions of any kind, and certainly Catholic churches. The president himself is a Catholic.
Yeah, he is. Let's pray for him, right? Let's pray, pray, pray. It's so frustrating. It's just so frustrating. It really is. I feel like I report on this stuff every day, but I think it's really important. You know, when it comes to talk radio, people come and go all the time. Audience changes every hour. People have different cycles. They listen for different lengths of time. One of the reasons I repeat this, because this is new, believe it or not, to people all the time. It's new to all the time. And it's funny how, I don't want to diverge here too much. There's a lot to get into today, but I was back visiting family. I had to attend a wedding last week. And I was sitting down with some people at the wedding table, and politics came up, some stuff came up, and they knew nothing about, you know, Hunter Biden's laptop. They knew nothing about a lot of these big issues that were going on in the media at the time. And I'm thinking, either they don't watch the news, right, or they watch a particular type of news where certain things are filtered. And it really is quite telling. I mean, as I said, this can be news to a lot of people. I call you, as I do every day, to action. The action is prayer, and we have got to reciprocate with love. It's easy to get angry and frustrated, but those who do this certainly need mercy. They need prayer. Now, unfortunately, the pro-life movement, though, I think will need to step up its game even more. I saw a study when I was getting prepped for today's show. It was called from the Guttmacher Institute. And by the way, Guttmacher, that's the abortion research arm of Planned Parenthood, right? They reported that the abortion rate went up between 2017 and 2020 by 8%. And that means that one-fifth of all pregnancies, one-fifth of them, ended in the deliberate killing of the unborn child. I mean, just try to get your head around that. One-fifth. Some pro-life groups are skeptical. They're saying that Planned Parenthood should show their numbers. Others, like researchers Michael New, they're looking at what happened in the state of Maine, and I think Illinois is the other one, where taxpayer dollars fund abortions. You know what they're finding? I'll get Michael New on. He was claiming that their numbers increased by 15 and 28% Illinois, I think, was 15%. Maine was 28%, plus the abortion pill, something I've not talked a lot about. Maybe I should spend a little time on this with you. The abortion pill, everything's, oh, it's not a big deal, right? It's causing a lot more abortions than before. So something that you may want to look at. There's also a bill that's been introduced in both houses of Congress that's going to boost Social Security payments. So if you are getting Social Security, you're getting ready to retire, you might want to listen to this. We'll see what happens. Right now, people on the government pension, they're losing because of inflation, right? This bill, looking at inflation, looking at what's going on, is going to increase your monthly payment by $200. And it would also change how the cost of living adjustments are made by tying those to a different consumer price index scale than the one that's now being used. But the bill would also tax more people, right? It would tax more people by imposing more Social Security tax on income. If you make less than $250,000 a year, you're okay. If you make over that, get ready. Right now, I think it comes up to $147,000. Now, whether or not that's going to be enough to boost the fund's coffer, that is another question. Right now, there's enough money in it to fund it, they say, for about 13 years. After that, people are going to face a 20% cut. So I've talked about this in the past. Will Social Security be there when you retire? I think it will be. I can't see how we're going to let it go, but how's it going to be funded? That's always a really big question. But you know, if you make over $250K, you might be paying a little bit more, you know, in the long run. If you plan to visit Yellowstone National Park, one other quick story here too. I think you might find interesting. You might want to put it on hold. I don't know if you've ever been there. If you said that's one of those things on my bucket list, I definitely want to go and check out one of the most beautiful national parks in our country. As you might have known, we had a call yesterday during the chapel. A lady called in saying, hey, can you pray for the flooding that's going on right now? Can you pray for the violent and destructive weather that so many people are seeing? Heavy rains produced rapid snow melt that caused serious floodings in the park. Here's more from NBC on what's now taking place out west and what are record-breaking floods.
Roads and bridges leading to Yellowstone National Park that weren't washed away have now been shut down indefinitely at the start of the peak summer season.
It's safe to say that it's going to be an extended period of time. The northern end will be closed.
Officials say some 10,000 visitors were evacuated from Yellowstone, even more from surrounding communities, some airlifted out of harm's way. In the small town of Red Lodge, what's normally a quiet creek, now a raging torrent.
This summer was the first summer, not as intense with the COVID, no fires, we were getting great rain. This was going to be our season, and our creek turned into a river.
The historic floods, the result of an atmospheric river, a narrow corridor of moisture that dropped relentless rain on Washington, Montana, and Wyoming, along with fast-melting mountain snows, turning streams into life-threatening rapids.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I don't know if you've seen any of the footage of what's happening there. Bridges literally have been torn out, just totally destroyed. Roads and houses washed away. And the course of one fishing river has just been completely altered. As I said, you know, this is a place that is going to now be forever changed, maybe permanently, according to the Associated Press. They were making that claim. As you know, small towns, they depend on the millions of tourists who go there annually. And they were actually, after COVID took place, just hoping for a better season this year. But, you know, we'll see what happens now. The towns have been flooded. The rivers are flowing through their main streets. We have record inflation and gas prices. My heart really goes out. It really does. Just a side note, and I have to be careful about how I say this. I just think we as a nation would be blessed if we did penance and we prayed and we fasted. I often think about some of our founding fathers. Maybe a little later, I'll tell you about some of these days of prayer and fasting that the nation put on. And together, we as a people did that. I think it so often holds back the hand of God. I think it brings back his mercy. I think it allows protection. You know, I think things change when that happens. Very, very powerful. Maybe we're not going to see that nationally right now, but maybe in your local community, You know, maybe you can ask your pastor, your priest, to maybe do that, to call for one. We had pockets of this around the country. Can you imagine how things would change? It only takes the prayer of a few. I think it only takes the prayer of a few to really make big, big changes. Finally, one other thing. All right, here's one other story that I definitely wanted to share with you. When I heard this story this morning, I'm thinking, you have got to be kidding, right? Check this one out, right? Disney is getting hit. Right? You know, they've been hit. We know what they did with the Governor DeSantis and his parental rights bill, how they went down this don't say gays type of stuff and what happened. Well, they're getting hit on social media again. This time, you might not know this, they've changed the voice of, you know, one of Disney's favorite characters, Buzz Lightyear. You know, Tim Allen is that voice. He's voiced this space toy and toys in the whole series. They have this Toy Story series, and his voice has become identified with Buzz. Right, you get used to hearing that voice with that character, and well, Disney decides they're going to change it. They have a new Lightyear movie coming out, and Disney says, you know what, we're not going to use Tim Allen anymore. We want Chris Evans, and I like Chris Evans, right? But we want Chris Evans. He's best known as his role as Captain America. Listen to this. Actor Chris Evans, of course, he was criticized. People who reacted very negatively, they see this as being woke again. Tim Allen is a conservative, right? He's spoken out against a lot of this woke ideology. Is there something more to the picture than meets the eye? Are they saying, okay, we don't want you associated with our brand? But Chris Evans, you know, as I said, who criticized people who reacted negatively to the woke narratives, calling them idiots. He'll die off like the dinosaurs. Listen to this interview with him from Reuters TV.
Whenever you do something about representation or diversity or whatever, you
sure,
there's always pushback. How would you counter that, I suppose?
Well, I mean, the real truth is those people are idiots. I mean, I think throughout history, you can see every time there's been social advancement as we wake up. I mean, the American story, the human story, is one of constant social awakening and growth, and that's what makes us good. And you know, when that happens, there's always going to be people who are afraid and unaware and trying to hold on to what was before, but those people die off like dinosaurs. And so, you know, I think the goal is to pay them no mind, march forward, and embrace the growth that makes us human.
I don't know. I'm a fan of Tim Allen as being the voice. I guess I don't like change. I don't know. Patricia Heaton, she took to Twitter to excoriate Disney for this. She said, look, I saw the trailer for Buzz Lightyear, and all I can say is Disney Pixar made a huge, she said, huge mistake in not casting my pal Tim Allen in the role that he originated, the role that he owns. She says, Tim is Buzz. You know, why would they completely castrate this iconic and beloved character? And you know what, Patricia, you got it. You're absolutely right. She got a great point there. But you know what, it's all part of the culture war. It's not ending. It is not ending. Let me do this. I'm going to take a short pause. When we come back, we'll change gears. We'll talk a little bit more. I want to talk about some of the big news coming out of Congress dealing with that a new framework for legislation when it comes to gun laws, red flag laws, if you will. You're more than welcome to join me, too. The number here anytime you want to get in is 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. The conversation continues right after this.
Relevant Radio runs on horsepower, your horsepower. Donate any vehicle and keep your station running. Join in with thousands of other listeners who have given their unused vehicles at relevantradio.com/car.
All the news and issues
now
that are happening now.
It's the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, it's good to be back here with you today. We'll pray the chaplet in about 35 minutes. So if you are in a real need for prayer, maybe things are looking impossible, maybe the business is in trouble, Maybe somebody's getting ready for that surgery or operation or discerning whether or not they're going to stay married. Call them up and say, hey, look, join us at the top of this next hour here. And we'll pray with literally people all over the world. We will lift your intentions up together. We'll storm heaven and we'll invoke God's mercy. That's coming up. So tell others. Great day to do that. You can get online at relevantradio.com. You can use the mobile app. You can, of course, tune into the station you're listening to. So lots of ways to get connected. I have not dealt with the issues of guns. This is such a divisive and controversial issue. Feel free to join me. Feel free to sound off. You're always welcome here. I do want to touch on what's happening, though, in terms of Capitol Hill, where the president is, where other people are. You know, since that horrific shooting took place at that school in Uvalde, Texas, there has just been a flurry of legislative activity trying to pass more, you know, gun control laws. And I knew that would happen, of course, because, you know, we saw this flurry of shootings, you know, Uvalde, then on the heels of that, there's another and then another and another. And a lot of these are copycat type of behaviors. And this is, I think, a majority of this is rooted really in mental illness. Not all of them, of course. There's been a lot of bullying and dysfunction. There's a lot of reasons that motivate somebody to do this. But Congress is looking at it. In Congress, a framework for legislation has been agreed on by the Senate Democrats and 10 Democrats as well, or 10 Republicans, I should say. But it's not clear yet whether or not the bill, any bill constructed around that frame, is going to actually pass the Senate. The framework calls for a couple things. They want increased background checks for buyers under 21. I don't really have a problem with that. They want more mental health funding. I say bravo to that. They want to close the so-called boyfriend loophole. And what's that? That fundamentally allows non-married domestic abusers to buy a gun. Increases, the other one was increasing security. Increasing the scrutiny of these firearm dealers, of licensed firearm dealers. They also want to increase penalties for straw purchases, buying a gun for somebody who's not supposed to have one, basically. And all of those provisions, they just seem to be, you know, common sense. I don't really have any objection to them. I think they're probably good decisions. Where do you stand on this issue? Where do you stand on the whole issue of guns and gun control? I'm joined today by Joe Socorro. He's a former police officer. He is also a longtime friend of this show, a former colleague of ours here on Relevant Radio, and it's good to have him back with us once again. And I thought I'd get a former cop and a Catholic therapist to give us a perspective. I think there's a lot of things that go on. Crime is a big thing. Broken families are a big thing. Mental illness is a big thing. I don't think there's anybody better than Mr. Socorro to join us. Joe, good to have you back. Good afternoon.
Drew, it's great to be with you talking about this important issue, but I think you sabotaged me, actually, before the conversation even began by saying, Buzz Lightyear, the voice of Buzz Lightyear is changing. How am I supposed to concentrate now?
let's talk about that for a minute. Is that not crazy? You know, to me, it's a cultural thing. I mean, they do not like Tim Allen's conservative values. Otherwise, why would you take something so iconic to your brand? They don't care. They can't have anything that threatens their ideology. Man, you're going to get rid of somebody who's built that character and get rid of him. I don't understand it from a business perspective. I understand it if I put on my woke hat, but I think wokeism is crazy.
I know. I think they're going too far, but just to me, is, you know, there's so much insanity going on in the world right now, and I think this is actually a great place to begin the conversation. Is we have a tendency, especially right now in this hyperbolic, politically charged world, to just do things because we think, oh, we've got to do something. We've got to do something to end the violence. We've got to do something to promote this cause or that cause. And of course, right now, you know, there's all this legislation that's being entertained about red flag laws. But here's the first thing that I want to say is very interesting is when I knew you were going to invite me on to talk about this, I put on my law enforcement hat as well as my marriage and family therapist hat. I thought, let me think. And then I reached out to some former police officer friends. I said, hey, what do you think about red flag laws? Do you want to talk about it? And they said, yeah, sure. What's a red flag law? And I thought, okay, we first have to educate people about what red flag laws actually are. And then you have to say, will this actually make a difference? Will this prevent violence? Nobody can say, oh, yes, we want more violence. right? No sane individual. We all want to prevent violence, especially keeping our kids safe and everything. But we can't just make an emotional decision. We have to base things on evidence. And that's what I do as a therapist. I want to begin with an interesting personal story, if you'd allow me just a minute before we talk specifically about this. Literally about a week ago, and obviously I'm not going to give away any details. You'd never know who I'm talking about. I'm going to change names and sexes and everything else so you wouldn't know. But let's just say I had a middle-aged woman come in to me that I've seen for years. She is for sure the most volatile patient I have. She's been committed to hospitals for suicide prevention, after suicide attempts. So it's a real challenge. And then she came to me and she said, Joe, I got a gun. Now, here's the first thing. How did this woman get a gun? Well, she got it illegally. Yep. She said, somebody gave it to me to hold on to because they were going to get arrested. And she actually is a wonderful person. She does great work with the homeless and whatnot. But she said, I got a gun. And so here's the first thing is we've got to, when we consider laws, including red flag laws, is are we actually preventing crime? Or are we just preventing people who would normally be law-abiding from getting a gun? And I think that's the first question. Now, this was deeply troubling to me. And I thought, oh, my gosh, here she is. I know she's not threatened suicide. She is not a threat to other people. She's never made a threat to anybody else. But I said, I've got to consult. And so I called up my good friend who's a psychologist, and I said, hey, what do you think about this? What's my obligation here, ethical, legal? What do you think? And we talked for a long time, and he said, you better consult some more. So I called attorneys, and I said, hey, do I have to notify law enforcement? This is the situation. And here's what the attorney who represents me as a therapist said. No, you can't do anything about that. You can't take her gun. You can't notify law enforcement. And I live in California where policies and statutes and laws are pretty liberal, obviously.
Right.
And so I think when we consider, again, like long story short, when we consider any law, we have to think, is this going to be effective? You know, so red flag laws, what are they? The laws are meant to remove weapons from dangerous people before a crime or a tragedy occurs. That's why it's called a red flag law. But when we think about that, we have to think about the Constitution. Like, would this, A, be constitutional? And I think this is just my personal take. I think what we have to do is say, well, the Constitution doesn't actually allow the federal government to prohibit these kinds of, you know, gun sales or who can get it or not. The Constitution says, well, the federal government can create an army, they can legislate, you know, commerce, they can create a post office. Right. They did a great job with that one, right?
Right.
But I think you've got to go back to the states. Now, the question is, in the states, is there evidence that red flag laws have prevented crime? And here's where I think it gets sticky. I don't know that anybody can prove or demonstrate that red flag laws have prevented any crime. There are, however, forgive me for going on a monologue here. I know
no,
this
please.
Is your show.
No, Joe,
you can
go ahead.
People jump in anytime and say, thank
Joe,
you, Joe, shut up.
I was just sitting here saying, I love him as a guest. He's awesome. you're right on. Yeah. You're on point, brother.
Thank you. There is, however, evidence that strengthening families, that keeping marriages intact, right? Having a father in the home. These are some of the things that we can look at and say, we know the evidence, not just evidence created or looked at into by the church, but from FBI statistics and everything else. We know that homes where there is a father, the children are more likely to stay in school. They're less likely to get involved in drugs and alcohol abuse. They're less likely to commit crime, especially violent crime. So these are the things that I think we should really be putting our focus on, is strengthening families. And I know this is a lot of the work that you do on your show, is talking about families and how we can do that. But I'd love to hear from people if they wanted to call in from law enforcement. It's like, what do you think about the red flag laws? Because I want to talk about some of the pros and the cons. Because some red flag laws, you could say, and you could make an argument, they actually make sense if there is due process.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the first thing that you look at, because we're not Russia. We're not a third world nation. We are all about due process. And what Red Flag says is, hey, if you think this person is a threat, let's say your ex-spouse, who maybe has some animus towards you, says, they're crazy. They shouldn't be allowed to have a gun. Well, they could make a call, and theoretically with a red flag law, law enforcement could go in and prevent that person from buying a gun or could confiscate the gun. Again, right. All states have a different sort of way of going about this. But that's not really due process. So the question is, again, if you had this law that said, hey, this person is crazy or I think they're a threat, I think, A, you have to ask, is it constitutional? And B, would it actually prevent the crime? Now, if I may, again, before we speak specifically about red flag, as a former law enforcement officer, I loved preventing crime. And that's what red flag is all about. I love preventing crime. I would just be a secretary, a glorified, high-paid secretary, if I went to a crime scene and said, okay, who shot who? Where were you standing? What was this all about? That's it. But you're not preventing crime. But Officer Sikora, if I said, oh, this looks kind of suspicious, and I had some reason to stop this person, and I was a very proactive law enforcement officer, then I could take a gun off the street. Then I could prevent the drive-by shooting. Then I could prevent the robbery. But here's where we've lost it right now, with this real anti-law enforcement mood that's in the air. Cops are saying, look, why I get paid the same whether I make a stop and prevent a crime or I just go take a report later on. Why should I jeopardize my own safety? You know, why should I jeopardize and subject myself to civil liability? So I think, again, before we even talk about, well, do red flag laws actually prevent crime, let's get back to actually supporting law enforcement and encouraging officers to be proactive and going out and, you know, with the involvement of the community, preventing crime. Does that make sense?
Totally. My guest today, Joe Sikora. Always good to have you here, Joe, with us. We'll open the phones. Let's hear from you, too. If you want to get in, the number's 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. 9149. Let's go to Ed. He's got a comment for you. He's listening in Vallejo, California. Ed, good afternoon. You're on the air with Joseph.
Hi, guys. Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate what you do. Assault being assault weapon, that weapon is used for the military to fight against the enemy. It's not a hunting rifle. It's an assault weapon. Just what the name means. That's all I want to say. They should get rid of all, no sales of assault weapons and no large magazines. And it's not a hunting rifle. This is just my opinion. I was in Vietnam. You know, it's an assault weapon. That's what it is. And thank you for listening. And I'll just take off the air.
And thanks for your service, Ed. Appreciate that. And Joe, your thoughts on that? As a former military, I was a former police officer. I'd love to get your take.
So let me address this. And I think people of goodwill can have different opinions. Again, I appreciate Ed's perspective. But let me give an alternative. When I was a police officer, I carried one, two, three, an assortment of weapons, right? A backup gun, my main gun. I carried an AR-15 in the car. Wow. I carried a shotgun. And there is no weapon that I would say was more effective at defense than the AR-15. No weapon, because it could be controlled. You're going to hit what you aim at and everything else. So I don't have one personally, right? I don't even carry a gun anymore. I live in a safe area. I don't feel any need. I'm not opposed to people who are authorized to carry them, right? That doesn't make me feel. But personally, if I lived in an area, a high crime area, and I could have one gun to defend myself, to defend my family, quite honestly, it'd be an assault weapon, an AR-15. Now, again, that's just my opinion. It doesn't have to be, you know, a 30-round magazine or anything else. It doesn't matter. But to me, that would be the one weapon I would use to say less likely to hurt anybody else, most likely to actually be a very effective defensive weapon. Now, again, that's my opinion. And I do agree there are people who can have different opinions on that, and I respect it. But, you know, again, is that going to prevent crime? I think that's just the question.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Now, if somebody said to me, let's say, Drew, I'm still an officer, right? And Drew Mariani called me up and said, "Hey, Joe, my neighbor, I think he is crazy. I hear him spouting off all kinds of difficult things. He's going to hurt people." Hey, I am all for law enforcement going in that case and actually getting that man to a hospital to be evaluated. I did tons of those. We call that a 5150 hold in California. It was a psych hold, 72-hour hold, where you bring them and then the doctors can evaluate whether or not they're a danger. And in that case, and again, this gray area, if you had access to weapons, you could theoretically seize them. Now, I don't know if that's still the same thing today or what, but you could if you had them. But if you went further and said, "Oh, I think he's got a gun, but it's in a gun case," say, I think under that case, you'd have to say, "Okay, I need to get due process, at least a judge to say, let's seize this weapon." But would preventing people from owning AR-15s actually cut down on gun violence? I think that's the question that you've got to ask. We can't just respond to this emotionally and say, "Guns are evil," like my mom used to say. Yeah. "Guns are evil. They're terrible things." It's like, yeah. Okay.
Joe, I feel the same way. I say all the time, whether it comes to the internet, whether it comes to television, whether it comes to guns, I mean, these things are inherently neutral. It's how they are used. Guns can be used for self-protection, for the protection of others. At the same time, they could be used to perpetrate great atrocities, as we've often seen. It's what's behind them. It's any more than a car is evil, yet drunk drivers kill people with those. So I think we always need to have that balance. I think it's a great point. Let's go to Jonathan. He's listening in East Moline, Illinois, and wants to join the conversation. Hi, Jonathan. You're on the air with Joe Sikora.
I cannot believe that I am on Relevant Radio right now. Wow.
That's good to have you.
All right.
Welcome.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I just wanted to contribute. Okay, so first of all, I'm not a law enforcement officer. But I just wanted to contribute a little bit of my my perspective and my experience to the conversation, if that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I spent 6 years being a firearms instructor for a very large youth organization, not officially affiliated with the organization, so I won't name it, but it's an organization for young men. You can probably figure out which one. And I taught rifle shooting and I taught shotgun shooting. And a lot of the kids that I taught these things to were from what people would consider bad parts of town or broken families or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I would bet money that of the, I've lost count, probably thousands of kids that I've taught, I would bet money that none of those kids have ever or will ever commit some kind of either accidental or intentional crime or heinous act with a firearm, because in my experience, the people who commit these terrible acts with firearms, some of it stems from, I don't understand it. And so it's almost this mystical tool, and that's how it becomes the problem solver. That's how it becomes, you know, that's how it becomes the way to solve all my problems. And I'm going to hurt this guy because he's saying things about me or my girlfriend or my mother or whatever. But when you understand and have a respect for the way that these things work and obviously what damage they can do, because any firearm can be damaging, then if you have that understanding, you won't do that because you have this healthy respect, just like when driving a car. If you understand that, you know, if you drive drunk or something like that, you can end somebody's life. You will not drive drunk. Make sense?
It certainly does. Joe, I'm going to let you respond because we only got a couple minutes before break. Jonathan, thank you for what you do.
God bless him for actually taking the time to volunteer to be with kids, because we know from studies that kids who come from disadvantaged backgrounds or fatherless homes, that if somebody else steps in and becomes a part of their life, they are less likely to commit crime. Amen. So I think we got to be on the crime prevention end, and I think you're – last caller is actually doing that.
Yeah, Joe, we only have about 2 minutes before I have to take my break, so I'll let you give a quick response to the thoughts that he brought out, and then we'll come back.
Yeah, I think, again, the problem is this, is we have a tendency to say, well, even if this law, prevented one crime, prevented one death, wouldn't it be worth it? But the problem is this, is you can have all kinds of laws saying, okay, we're going to prevent it. Let me back up. First of all, again, what he did and what he's doing is actually training kids, being a part of their lives. I don't care if you're teaching them how to swim or how to shoot a bow and arrow or how to read or how to shoot a gun. involvement in young people's lives is the most important thing. It's the greatest impediment to them becoming killers or psychopaths. I mean, you know, you're not going to stop everybody from becoming the psychopath or sociopath who commits crimes. But being involved in kids' lives, strengthening homes, stepping in, being that father figure, that mother figure to kids who are disadvantaged. Yeah. That is the most important thing we can do. Again, red flag laws are about preventing crime. My take is there are a lot of things that we can do to help prevent crime. You know, we can give law enforcement the tools, and they have the tools, but we've got to support them to go out and do their jobs. That's the most important thing.
Well, stay with me. And when we come back, if you grab a pen and paper, too, because I want to get you plugged into something that Joe is doing. He does do a podcast and get you connected to him. I just got, I think, a tweet or an email or something notifying me of what he's now doing. And I know nothing about it, so we'll find out. But if you're just tuned in, we are talking about what's happening on Capitol Hill and the so-called red flag laws, examining the whole issue. It's a complicated one of guns. Stay with me when we come back. We'll take your calls and talk a little more. We receive hundreds of your phone calls every day, all thanks to the Catholic Order of Foresters studio line. Our sponsor offers flexible life insurance and annuities. Visit relevantradio.com/Forester today. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
Tell one friend about the Chaplet of Divine Mercy.
I'm not holding a small cup, Drew. I'm handing holding an extra large cup.
A bucket.
Every weekday at 4 Eastern, 1 Pacific on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, we'll pray the chaplet coming up in, I guess, about 10 minutes or so. Feel free to join me for that. That is the highlight of my time with you. And you always feel the power of that prayer and the Holy Spirit in a special way. So be glad to intercede for you and with you and pray with you. So that's coming up in a minute. If you're just joining me, I'm talking to a former colleague of mine, Joe Sicori. He's a therapist, a former law enforcement officer as well. And I thought about him earlier today. We're taking a look at these red flag laws. And Joe brought up a great point because I actually had to look up what a red flag law was. He says, you know, we need to educate people on what this is all about. And if you're just joining me, we're taking a look at what seemed pretty common sense. These laws call for, you know, greater background checks for buyers that are under 21, more mental health screening and funding, closing what they call a boyfriend loophole that allows non-married domestic abusers to buy a gun, and greater scrutiny of licensed firearm dealers, et cetera, right? But there's one other provision that's causing a problem, especially for conservatives. And the framework increases support for states that we'll have these so-called red flag laws and would encourage states without those laws to put them on the books. And these red flag laws, they allow law enforcement to obtain a court order and temporarily seize a gun from somebody considered a danger to themselves and to others. But it's more complicated than that. I mean, how law enforcement learns that someone is considered a danger to themselves or somebody else, that to me is a big question. And here's another one. Look, we have a right, a constitutional right. We have a right to keep and to bear arms. That's enshrined in our second, in our Constitution. So doesn't the burden of proof belong to the person making the claim that the other person might cause harm? I just think of Asia Bibi. Remember her? She was the woman who was arrested with blasphemy laws. And her neighbor claimed that she said this, and she was arrested, put in jail, and possibly put to death. I mean, what if your neighbor claimed that you weren't right and they didn't like you? Right, they had a problem. You see these neighbors, you know, fights all the time, or maybe a family member. They call the police and they say this. I mean, where does the burden of proof lie? Under some of these laws, by the way, they passed in about 19 states, the confiscation can be enforced before the accused even has a chance to respond. And then again, I'm torn on it because, you know, you want safety. You don't want somebody who's not in the right mind or somebody who can hurt themselves or somebody else to have a weapon like this. So it's a complicated issue, as I said. It's a complicated issue. I'm joined today, as I said, by Joe Sicori, and I always appreciate his Catholic view on this issue. And he was a police officer with the city of Santa Monica for about 17 years, also a licensed marriage and family therapist. He wrote a book called Defying Gravity. I personally endorsed it, so you can check that out. It's available at Ignatius Press. And Joe, before we jump into this, I'm going to take a couple calls. I want to put a plug in for your, I think it was your podcast that I saw. I don't know whether I got your tweet or I got an email from you, But is this something new you launched? And I hate to be so ignorant. I like to be informed when I go on the air, but I don't know a whole lot about this.
Yeah, I did actually just recently start doing a podcast again. You can find it on Spotify and I think Google and some other places. Again, I'm just doing what I've always loved to do. I love to encourage, to inspire people, to strengthen families. And my perspective is one, I'm a therapist, so I'm highly trained in the world of psychology and different modalities of therapy. But I'm also a Catholic. I'm a Christian. And I love to integrate particularly scripture into the work of psychology. So that's what I do. I take issues like insecurity. I just put that out this morning. You know, how to build confidence. What does scripture say about that? Marriage, all these things, forgiveness versus reconciliation. So I'm doing that. I actually took some time before I got back into the podcast because I just recently wrote another book. It has been published, but trust me, I'm going to hit you up for an endorsement. Even my friend Patrick Madrid, I'm going to try to get it published. It's called The Whole World is Going Crazy, But You Don't Have To. And I write about themes that I encounter as a therapist. And I speak about them from both a research, scientific, psychological perspective, as well as the integration of our Christian faith. You know, what does God say about this? So I'm really excited about it. We'll see what happens.
I'll have to get you behind the mic here, let you guest host while I'm away, too. I always forget
what?
to reach out to you.
What?
I love when you're here.
That would be the most dangerous thing you could ever do, Drew.
Will I get back into my chair when I get back, Joe? I'm like, Joe, I'm on.
No, what I'm saying is I might tank your show completely.
No, you're great. All right, let's take a few calls. We'll jump into it. Thank you for your patience, by the way, if you're in hold. Time is always the enemy. It goes so quickly. I wish I had more of it. But Joe is listening to us. He's calling in from Passaic, New Jersey. He was a cop for 33 years. Joe, good afternoon.
Okay. Yeah, just a quickie. Cop 33 years, military 40 years, active in reserve. I've seen it all. Passaic was a little inner city town. Too many people of different ethnic backgrounds jammed into a 3.2 square mile area. Personal observation from the 33 years, there was a father in the house. There usually wasn't a problem. The only possible replacement was in some of the black families. I'm just telling you the way it is. They disagree with me or not. If you had a really strong black grandmother, if they didn't use a gun, they would use a baseball bat. They didn't use a baseball bat, they would use a machete. They didn't use a machete. I've seen people with bowling balls, saws, chainsaws, you name it. It's not the weapon, it's the person.
Yeah, Joe, I think you bring up a good point, and Mr. Sikora, I'll let you respond as well, but I think it comes down to the family, doesn't it? I mean, so often we see so much of this brokenness, this violence within the streets and the culture and these horrible acts that we saw, like in Uvalde, with people who come from, they were either bullied, they have broken families, and unless you got that strong and good formation within the family, this is the byproduct of it. And Joe, I often talk about how Satan hates both family and marriage, and we're seeing that manifest in a special way today.
Yeah, I agree completely. And by the way, anybody named Joe who calls into your show, you should always take them immediately because they're going to be wise and contribute positively. No, I agree completely with Joe. You know, it comes back to the family. I think we've got to target families, and no pun intended when we're talking about gun enforcement and stuff, but we've got to actually really focus on families and reaching out to those who are disadvantaged. When we just focus on a particular gun or an instrument, I think we're going to fall short. Again, I don't doubt people's good intentions when they suggest this law or that law to try to prevent crime. I don't doubt, for the most part, I don't doubt their intentions. But I think you've always got to ask what is effective. And there is nothing more effective than a strong family, than a loving family that with a mother and a father and values. So I think that's where we should always put our focus.
Yeah. But, David's a former law enforcement as well. He joins us from Los Angeles. David, good afternoon.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon to you both as well. Hey, just as a quick background, so I'm 30 years as a cop in a Los Angeles County Police Agency, retired now, as of 2014. I arrested a lot of violent offenders involving guns and, you know, written a lot of search warrants. And then I worked in a unit that actually investigated tips regarding threatening behaviors. So kind of a see something, say something, we would follow up on those, you know, tips of people that someone would suspect is going to commit a violent act. So I'll just speak briefly on you know, California's equivalent of a red flag law, which actually is called a gun violence restraining order that they've had in effect since 2016. Now, in fairness, I'd never enforced that order because I retired just prior to it becoming in force, but I did subsequently go to a class in my post-retirement job, which I currently have in corporate security. And I want to say that, you know, it is a tool, certainly, to be used to try to get in front of a violent act. So I'll definitely say that it is a tool. And in California, at least, I can speak to the statute here. It's written in a way where there are guardrails. There has to be judicial review. It has to be very articulate as to the types of behaviors that indicate violence. Mm-hmm. And there has to actually be given by a person that has that knowledge and has to sign their name to it. So
I hate to do this. I'm up against the clock. I got to leave it right there. Thank you.
Yeah.
For your service, and thanks for bringing that to our attention as well. Joe, thank you for being with me as well. We're going to pray. I'll remember you, your new podcast, your new book, and all that's coming up. Thanks for being here. Joe Secor, of course, former colleague here at Relevant. You may remember him. Check him out. Okay, I'm going to take a short pause. We'll be back. We'll pray.